No matter how bad the devil is as a devil, God is always a good God. And he's planning something good for you and for me also. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. If you have your Bibles, please let's begin to read today. Let's just read one scripture first of all before we go into the other one. Let's read quickly 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are still talking about the high calling. I'll just read one verse. Let me just start from verse 11. Even though the verse I want is verse 15. It said, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. He said, I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again, he says, commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. He said, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. This is what I wanted, all right? He said, we have concluded this. The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. In verse 15, he says, and he died for all. This is a purpose. Or this is the outcome, this is a consequence, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Please notice that. This is the effect of the death of Jesus Christ. He said, so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Paul said this is the way it is when he was writing to the Galatians. He said, at that cross of Christ, I was crucified to the world, and the world was crucified to me. That is, I don't do anything now because of what the world thinks. I do not do anything because of what I want to achieve in the world. Everything I am doing by faith, the faith of Christ. There are two ways to look at that faith of Christ. You can look at it as, I believe in Christ Jesus, so I'm doing what I'm doing. Or you can also look at it as if, I'm of the kind of faith that Jesus had, that is, his life was guided by his trust in God the Father and the fact that he understood that it was an assignment from the Father. Like he said in that book of John chapter 12, he said that, Father, should I say, all right, rescue me from this coming hour? He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. That is, there is a cause for everything. Your life, and that's the purpose of this high calling teaching that we have been on. Christians must understand the purpose of their lives. Your life is not just for, in fact, your life is not for you at all. There's something I said to us before. Sometimes we look at it that let me do something and then God will reward me. God does not reward you for what you did in that sense. You know the reason why he can't? You don't belong to yourself. It is not possible. You cannot use what belongs to God and expect God to give you a reward for it. The thing is not your own. There's a scripture we're discussing in the house, and that is, can you remember where? That one you were asking me about it, and we were looking at it. When Paul said that if I preach the gospel willingly, all right, then I can lay claim to a reward. He said, but if under, when he said that, if you have a King James, he says, necessity is laid upon me. Maybe let me quickly search it out from the book, from King James. Yes, I have it here, 9:16. All right. I like the way Paul said it here. If you look at this, I'm talking about your life as a Christian. And like I was saying, this is the aim of this whole thing. I want Christians to start to understand fully what it means to be a servant of God. There are two sides to being a Christian. There is a side in which you are a child of God. To him, to those who believe, he gave the power to be called sons of God. But then there are two kinds of sons. There are sons that are prodigal and there are sons that serve. There is no third type. You're either a prodigal son or you are a serving son. Who is that serving son? The one who understands that the fact that I am a son does not give me the right to live carelessly. If because you are a child of God, you begin to live carelessly, your life will automatically turn out to be prodigal. The promises of God, the fact that he gives us things is not the reason why we live the way we like. Even though you could ask God for an airplane and God will give it to you, but you do not just ask God for an airplane, you ensure, that's maturity, that this thing is going to be a blessing to me. It will help me serve my father. Because there are two kinds of sons. God said in the book of Malachi, he said, I will spare them like a man spares his own son that serves him. There are sons that don't serve their father. Paul says something here. I said we should open to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, all right, from verse 15. He said, but if I have used, he said, now listen to this carefully. Paul here was talking about the fact that he had rights as a preacher. That is, if I'm a preacher, it is the rightful thing is that I should eat from the proceeds of preaching. What I mean is, it's not as if I sell my gospel, but that if I'm preaching, people who have been blessed should be responsible for what I eat. He said, it's a right. It's a right. That's what I was saying. There are things that I have a right to. He said, however, I did not use any of these things in verse 15. He said, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, that I am not begging for money. He said, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory in void. I'm reading King James here. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, he says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, you have to understand something here. Please, I read the King James, so it may be a bit, the English may be a bit tricky for some people. All right? Okay, let me just quickly go read from New American Standard a few verses. In verse 16, he said, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward, that is, in this stewardship, that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Now, this thing, the day my wife was reading it, she was lying down reading it, I thought, why, she called my attention and said, what is this man talking about here? All right? And really, you know why it's difficult to understand? It's because of the kind of perspective we often have towards life. The way gospel is preached towards us a lot of times, it's actually very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, really. We Christians behave as if I do things for God, then God has to acknowledge, that is, he must understand that I have done something for him. You get my point? So I go to church and I sweep. He has to realize that I have swept his temple, therefore my house must be clean. If I have given water to somebody who is thirsty, he has to ensure that I never go thirsty. So we do all of those things, and we actually think we are negotiating. Let me say to you again today, it is not Christianity. Those are the second heaven things of this life. And I've told you before, be careful. Be careful. When you are praying, be careful. Many of the prayers that people pray, they are actually the methods by which Satan gets power in their lives. There are people who say, I have fasted, I have prayed extensively, therefore God will bless me. That very month, trouble will come into their homes. The reason is because when they went into the place of prayer, thinking that I have done these things, what they did not realize was that they opened the door for the accuser to come in. Once you get to that second level behavior, because heaven, I talked about the third heavens, all right, the heavens of heavens, all right, there is the lower one, there is the second heavens, and then there is the third heavens. The principle in the matter of Christ is this, all right, is the fact that the third heavens is the heavens of Christ Jesus. In that place, only grace counts. In that place, only mercy counts. In that place, only the blood of Jesus speaks. Are you getting my point? Any other thing that talks there is causing trouble. You understand? If you go there and your voice is not filtered through the power of the blood of Jesus, you are going to talk nonsense. No matter how good it is, the thing you think you are going to say, if it is not based upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are talking rubbish. Nobody will even hear what you are saying. In the second heavens, most of the principles you learn in life, that's where they operate. When Buddhists operate, they operate in the second level. When Hindus operate, they operate the second second level. When the local Babalawos and DBS operate, they operate the second level. That is why anytime they want to afflict somebody, they have to bring up accusation against the person. They have to. You know, no witch has the power to just walk into your life and say, I'm going to kill this man. After all this is a home video. Yeah, you get my point? They don't have that power. I've heard preachers say that, people say that God has authorized everything. The truth is that, yes, God has to authorize everything because he's the judge of the whole earth. Nobody can effectively do anything except this God authorizes it. Hitler, listen to me, Adolf Hitler could not have killed 6 million Jews without going to the judge to take permission. It is not possible. You cannot run this earth outside him. So those of us in the gospel of faith, we say, no, the Satan has sold, Adam has sold the authority to the devil. So the devil is the one controlling things. It is not true. The fact is that God is the Almighty. That is his name. And the Bible says clearly, he rules in the affairs of men. He still rules. There are so many things we have to keep teaching Christians. The fact that God rules does not mean we always do his will. There is a difference between the will of God and what God rules concerning on the earth. The will of God is that which he desires. The will of God is that which he wrote. The will of God is his plan that is good for you. However, what comes to pass is not just the will of God. If you go there and say to God, I don't want to do your will, as the judge of the whole earth, he authorizes you to do anything that you like. However, everything that you do has a consequence. Do you get my point? Everything that you do has a consequence. So in the second level, heaven levels, what happens is that people are reaping the reward of what they did. Do people, they do wrong, they get punished. And because if God were to number iniquity, nobody will stand. Nobody. That was the problem with Job. Job thought he could stand if God would number iniquity. God said, if I was to number iniquity, nobody will stand. And David said, however, there is mercy with him. That is, the only thing that makes us stand is the mercy of God. But those who go pleading their works, what they don't realize is that they are activating the judgment of God. When God sits upon his throne and begins to judge the kings of the earth, what happens is that if you decide to operate at the level of, I have done, you will do. Satan will come and say, he has not done, therefore you will not do. Are you getting my point? And God has no choice but to rule. But if you come like that man that Jesus was speaking about, have mercy upon me, I have not done right. Have mercy upon me, it doesn't matter what I have done. What matters is what Jesus has done. What you are doing is that you are stepping out of the second level, the second heavens. You are stepping into the third heavens where Satan cannot talk. Are you getting my point? Where the only voice that is heard is the voice of the blood of Jesus. That's how Christians are supposed to live. That's why I keep on preaching this gospel that people preach every day. I preach against it. That if you want God to do something for you, you will first say to him, you will bring, in fact, you were telling me today that somebody does one program, they call Basket of Miracles. You go and put money inside and take a miracle. So I said, this is wickedness. This is not right. Are you getting my point? This is not right. The only thing we are supposed to do as preachers is to exalt Jesus Christ, is to say to everybody that if you want to be blessed, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Every work you do in life as a Christian must be a reflection of the faith that you have in the blood of Jesus. That is the only thing that speaks positively for you in the heavens. Every other thing, including your good works, they put you in trouble. Yes. If you want to lay claim because of your good works, what that does is to open the door for counter accusations. So when you go before God, good works, forget it. Bad works, forget it. Bury everything under the blood of Jesus. And go there and speak concerning the power of the blood, the promises that he has written. They overcame him, we read that earlier, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I'm going to speak, let me just stick with those two for now, all right? The point is that the blood speaks. Somebody say the blood speaks. You know, Paul said that we have come to the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks. That is the only voice that is heard in the third heavens. However, this is the problem. Christians, preachers, we now start preaching the opposite. We take away the Lord, we don't even know where we lead him. We start telling people that when you do this, now, you know, I'm going to interpret a particular scripture. I've not forgotten. We now start looking at life as if, okay, I've done something so that God can quickly do for me. I've done something. Paul said this. He said, listen, this is how the life of a true mature Christian is. He said, if I am doing this thing voluntarily, what it means to do it voluntarily is this. I saw a movie many years ago. The background, the movie was about when America was going to fight in Vietnam. So there were these two soldiers that they were supposed to answer the questions of reporters. Now, I'm not talking about the war. I'm not talking about the movie. I just want to talk about the statement the lead guy made. He's a master sergeant, all right, what we call staff sergeant in Nigeria on the British system. And then he and the other fellow is sergeant. So he said, look, we have been ordered to volunteer to answer your questions. I never forgot that statement. Did you hear what he said? We have been ordered to volunteer. Hey, I said, this is army. You get my point? This is military. You know, so the boss will just call him, two of you, please go and volunteer to answer the questions of the reporters. And they will say, yes, sir. And they will go there. Yeah, you volunteered? Yes. Okay. Why can't you volunteer? We're ordered to volunteer. You know what I'm saying? And this is how soldiers think. And that's what Paul was saying here. He said, if I do this voluntarily, if I was able to just simply say, I want to volunteer, he said, then I can be laying claim to a reward. He said, but if I was ordered, he said, then I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What he was saying is this, I am like a slave. I have to account to my master what I did. I can't come and claim anything because I think I have done something. Are you getting my point? I cannot claim anything because I think I have done something. I must explain something to Christians. Kai, the thing is burning inside me. You know the reason why we do that thing, all right? We want to claim because we think we are in need. Do you get my point? Like, listen, I need to pray. God needs to answer me. I need something to happen in my life. I need breakthrough. I need a husband. I need a wife. I need children. I need money. I need this. So I need to activate something so that those things will be released. So we not go around trying to do something, but we don't realize that the Bible says that he has given us great and magnificent promises. The basis upon which your needs are met is that he promised and said, I am the Lord that supplies all your needs. And what he's doing is to fulfill his word in your life. That's why I said to them simply, he said, don't worry about these things. He said, it's people who don't have God that pray about them. He said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That, listen, I am not going to do anything for you because you think you have done something. I am going to do something for you simply because I promised I would do it. What am I going to say? So you are not losing anything if you are working hard, in quote, for God and you are not quoting it for him. You are not losing. Because a lot of Christians think that, you know, the thing, they pinch them for body when they won't pray. Especially when you have, you know, assuming you were brought up like a stingy man, which every child is. Every child is me, mine, no, you know. Somebody didn't train you on how to give. You're already 20-something. Before you started hearing the gospel, give. So you've been given out of your money, so it has been paining you. It's not your fault. You get my point? Is that the thing don't attach to your body. So it has been paining you. So you want to hear that, that pain is for a purpose. And that purpose is that I will have some more. So as to soothe the pain. But you know what? If you were taught early on how to give, how to share, all this gospel of ask God back because of what you did, it will be hard for you. Are you getting my point? What I'm going to emphasize is simple. Don't worry about it. Please tell your neighbor, don't worry about it. There is nothing, let me say this to you again. There is nothing God can owe you because of what you did that he does not already owe you because of what Jesus did. You know, the other day, I was watching something about the lives of very rich people. And they talked about one girl, her name escapes me right now, but she's a heiress to like a $5, $6, or $7 billion fortune. Her father is exceedingly wealthy, but she works. She's a model, and she also does charity. So, of course, her father is very wealthy. She's very pretty, all right? And she works as a model. They said everything that is due her, her, all her wages as a model is donated automatically to charity. Now, I'm bringing up something here. There is nothing she can work for that will be more than what she already stands to inherit. Do you get my point? Her father is rich. Why she featured in that show that I was saying, you know, that story about life, he said, meet the next generation of hot billionaires. That's what he wrote. Her father has labored, acquired things. It's in billions. That is, in fact, I don't know whether it's her father or another one ahead of. The moment you hit maybe the age of 21, the man throws, maybe first drops like $20 million so that you won't be worried. What the Bible calls an earnest of the Holy Spirit. You understand my point? That good things are coming. So that kind of girl working is not for money. In the same manner, you working for God is not for blessing. It's not so that he may give to you. Your father in this context is the Lord Jesus in that context. He said, I and the children whom the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. So your father in this context is the Lord Jesus. He has already amassed billions. He has amassed billions of spiritual blessings. There is nothing you can do on this earth that you can compare to what is already prepared for you. So how do we walk? We just walk like that young girl I was talking to you about. Because we can. Because we have the ability. But we are not saying because of that we will get something from him. No. We are not linking him to anything because of that. Please, we must understand this. I say it all the time. Some people will be thinking, Pastor Frank, is that the only message you have to preach? It's not my fault, please. Eh? My brother, my sister, don't be angry. It is the way we preachers pollute the minds of Christians every day. That is what makes me behave like this. Paul said here, I'm trying to explain something here. Paul said, a stewardship is entrusted to me. What was he saying? This is how my life is. I gave my life to Christ willingly. But after I gave my life to Christ willingly, I no longer have a willingness of my own. Are you getting my point? I have already submitted it. Giving my life to Christ means I have given up my will. Now I do just what he says. And anything I do, you know, Jesus said that which one of you will have a slave? And that one will go and walk. And you not tell the slave, you have work to come and sit down and eat. He said, lie, lie. It doesn't happen. When the slave comes back, you tell the slave, go and do some more work in the house. Give me my own food. After I have finished eating, then you can now go and eat. He said, in such a manner, you also say to him, we are unworthy servants. What it means is that we are not worthy of laying any claim to anything because of what we have done. I said to you, that's what Christianity is. You belong to somebody. You have been bought. You are somebody's property. What did I say? Say it, I am somebody's property. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's a serving son. Any Christian who doesn't understand this, a prodigal son, starts living life carelessly. Start living life anyhow. Doesn't understand that I don't just make decisions that will suit me. No, I make decisions knowing that my life was created for existing on this earth for a particular purpose. We have been emphasizing that. Now, please bear this in mind. Now, so Paul said in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we read, he said he died for all. So that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Paul said at that point, at that cross, the world was crucified to me. Please don't ever forget that. The world has been crucified to us and we to the world. I explained that last time that for that reason, I am not, listen, I don't do anything now for fame. I don't do anything for popularity. I don't do anything because of what I'm going to get. I don't do anything to impress anybody. Listen to me. I don't belong to my earthly father. I don't belong to my earthly mother. Are you getting my point? I most certainly do not belong to my villagers. I don't belong to anybody on this earth. So whatever I do because it is in line with the will of God for my life, not because it pleases anybody. Do you get my point? The world has been crucified to me. If the world says by this time you should own your own house, it's the very reason why I don't want it. If the world says that, listen, a man of your status should be driving this kind of car, it's the reason why I will buy a Keke Napep. Are you getting my point? Please, this thing is very important. We must realize that we have been bought with a price. Therefore, we must glorify God in everything that we do. We must never glorify human beings. They must not set the standards of our lives for us. They mustn't. They mustn't. Now, the main scripture I want to read today is actually from the book of Ezekiel chapter 16. It's still talking about this issue of Christians understanding that their lives don't belong to them. It belongs to the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, I am going to read a very long portion. In fact, the whole chapter. But because it's so long, well, not the whole chapter, but a long portion of it. Because it's so long, as I'm reading, you will notice as I do once in a while, I'll just be jumping, all right, explaining something, you know, going through some verses. I just omitted some verses and explaining what's in there. Now, I want to understand here that the Bible says that these things that were recorded for our learning. This thing is a type for what Christians should be like. Please, before I go into this, let me say something to you again. It is not right for us to talk about God, our Father, as if he spoils children. What we preach sometimes in Christianity, as if God is just good, is so good, he does not know how to do bad. You know, I was showing, Apostle Dazokemuti the other day, and some other, I think it was Israel and Co., were discussing. And I showed them the scripture that says that, it's like only the devil kills. I say it's not true. They say only the devil makes people sick. God doesn't do it. I say it's not true. When we saw clearly in the scriptures that God said he does it, we said no, he only allows. That the Hebrew word is passive. I said the same word that says I made the Egyptians sick is the same word that says I also blessed you. So if the sickness is passive, the blessing is passive. It's true. What people don't understand, I wrote an article then about what I call God the Father and God the Judge. Even God the Father chastises. God the Judge does what is right. God the Father has, is the same God, but different aspects of him. God the Father, you must understand there's a difference between the will of God and what God actually does. There's a difference. People don't know there's a difference. What God actually does is what he's allowed to do or what he's compelled to do. The will of God is that which he wants to do. The people do not always allow him to do what he wants to do. Sometimes he does what he does not want to do, but he has to do because he's God the Judge. And there are many scriptures, we're not looking at them now, that say that explain these things. For example, he said, I do not want to punish the people. I don't want to pour forth my indignation upon them. He said, but I have to, unless I find what? An intercessor. So I sought for an intercessor. Somebody to stand in the gap between me and these people. And what did he say? I did not find. For that reason, I poured forth my anger. It was not the devil that now afflicted them. God, it was God's anger. But what is the will of God? The will of God was that I do not want to pour it. But so as not to pour it, I must have an intercessor. And I did not find. I showed on the other day in the scriptures that Jesus said concerning Jezebel, and you must understand that Jezebel, my understanding of it, that Jezebel was a Christian. Not the Old Testament Jezebel, the one in the book of Revelations. Okay, no. I don't mean Ahab's wife. Ahab's wife was a very bad girl. I mean, I'm talking about the one in the book of Revelation. You know, God said to them, he said, you tolerate that woman Jezebel. Jesus was speaking. The who calls herself a prophetess. He said, what does she do? She leads my servants astray. She now said, except she repents, I will cut. Jesus was speaking. None of this passive God was just allowed. No. Jesus said, I will cast her onto the bed of affliction and I will kill her children. I don't know who said that God doesn't know how to do these things. No, we preach in the faith message as if he doesn't.
Please, oh, there's, and you know the point is, anyway, let me not go there.
Let's not say that. It is not the will of God that any should suffer. It is not the will of God that any should perish. It is not the will of God that any should be sick. It is never his will. It's always his will to heal, to raise from the dead, to prevent us from dying. However, we have to be careful that we do not walk out of that will and therefore force him to two levels. One, to chastise us, which is good. Chastisement is good. If I should be praying a prayer, Lord, chastise me if I misbehave. Because chastisement is good. That one is for correction. Judgment is different. Why am I saying this? We must bear these things in mind and live in the fear of God. That's what I'm saying. Let me say it again. We must bear these things in mind and do what? Live in the fear of God. God told the children of Israel something. The children of Israel, yes. He said, I'm taking you out of Egypt. I'm using you to replace some people that I want to punish. He said, now when you get there, do not behave the way they behaved. Otherwise, the exact thing I did to them, I will be forced to do it to you. The land will also vomit you out. Was a warning. Listen, I said this before, I'll say it again. The Christian that entangles himself and herself to the world will suffer the judgment that the world will suffer. At least temporal judgment, at least physical judgment on this earth. You may not go to hellfire. That one is different. However, if the world makes something a standard, we call it an idol. You worship that same idol, every single trouble and affliction that the Lord has blessed them with because of that idol, Christianity or no, like Americans would say, you will get your portion. I keep on saying this. What the Lord does for the Christian, look at what he told the disciples. He said, judgment is coming on Jerusalem. What can I do for you? He said, no, listen. I'm quoting another scripture in the Old Testament that's under the prophets. He said, destruction has been determined and it is overflowing with righteousness. Now, because it is overflowing with righteousness, we cannot stop it. And that destruction says, anybody this guy is finding here, they must destroy. For that reason, what am I going to do for you? I will warn you ahead of time concerning how to escape the judgment that is about to come. For that reason, you must cast away this your love of Jerusalem, he told them, and be ready to flee. What Jesus was saying that time is that after the days of the Lord Jesus, Christians should stop buying land in Jerusalem. That time. You know what he said? He said, because they're going to, you know, are you getting my point? If your master said this land, like said this ain't no good, don't worry. It's going to be burnt completely with fire. And your eyes will see it. It will, only a fool, do you get my point? We see him investing his money in the place. And God told the people that, so what I'm going to do for you is I'll let you know. He said, these are the signs. What are the signs? You will see wars, rumors of wars and all of that. He said, don't worry yet. He said, but the day you see the armies begin to gather around Jerusalem, then know that her desolation has come. This is what you are going to do. If you are on the rooftop, jump from there and head for outside the city. Anybody who has been paying attention to him will have been building most of his business away from Jerusalem. He said, listen, you can pray two prayers. Now, one of them is that you will not have to do this during winter. And that was a valid prayer point. So the Christians were supposed to gather and say, Lord, your righteousness is great. Everything you do is good. We know that Jerusalem shall be destroyed. However, we are asking that it will not be during winter. Because according to the word of our Lord, we have to run. It's simple. What am I going to say? If you, however, decide to entangle yourself with Jerusalem, you have bought a plot of land where they are going to start drilling for diamonds next week. For that reason, when they say the armies are coming, say, no, I have spoken against the armies, you shall not come. My brother, when the armies arrive, your Christianity becomes secondary. They will do God a favor and kill you without pain. So you can go to heaven in peace. Why am I saying so? Now I've been warning Christians. We cannot pray against corruption and you'll be corrupt and you escape the judgment. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. If you like, tithe on the money. Listen, put value added tithe. You know there's VAT in Nigeria. It doesn't matter. Once it is corrupt money, the only thing you can do is come out from amongst them and be separate. That's all. That's the only safety. You cannot entangle yourself with the things that the world entangles itself with. If the world says that if I don't have money, if I'm not rich, I'm not successful. If you say the same thing, hear me, you will also be hypertensive. If you like, quotes by his stripes, I have been healed 29 times every hour. Why did I choose that 29? I don't know. But if you like, quote it 70 times, 7 times a day. That word cannot work because you have subverted it by pulling yourself out from under the covenant and then entangling yourself with the world. Quote the scripture morning, afternoon, and night, brotherly. You will be on drugs to control your hypertension. There's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is to learn the word of God. So instead of saying, by his stripes I've been healed, you turn around and say, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. When you believe that thing, your BP will go down. Listen, if God says, forgive those that despitefully use you, forgive those that hurt you, those that speak negatively against you, forgive them, pray for them. You say, no! What that man did was very bad. And you nurse anger and bitterness. 15 years, 20 years, my brother, my sister, you go sick. Quote, by the stripes I've been healed 100 times a day. It makes no difference. You will be sickly. They will lay hands on you today. Join hands, rebuke the devil, and the sickness will leave your eye. It will come back tomorrow on your back. You gather the brethren again and begin to declare, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. And we all join hands and say, if you are a brother, he will be well. You know, at the end of the day, it will leave your back. They will go home. The following week, it comes on your knee. We gather again after a while. They say, you are using too much spiritual firepower on this matter. God will stop answering. Why? Because you just decided to entangle yourself with the things of the world. Unforgiveness, be one of them. So that unforgiveness now becomes a spirit of infirmity in your soul. I hope you are getting what I'm not explaining. Listen, even though God has promised us things, we don't because of them start behaving recklessly. Because we have respect for those promises, we pull away from the world and stick to Christ and his word. I've said this again and again, and I'll continue to say it. Christians are not under the power of an ancestral curse. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Your grandfather's trouble is not your own. I've heard it preached again and again that if your grandfather or your great-great-grandfather was a slave trader, because a slave trader would take home people from homes, and therefore is breaking a home, your home will also is likely to break. That was then. I don't know whether it's true or not. All I just know, once you became a Christian, it becomes a matter of what? That was then. Whatever curse that was placed upon Gehazi and his descendants, once the descendants of Gehazi believes, the curse is wiped away. After this series, I don't know whether immediately after, but I want to do one in which I call possessing the land. I want to explain something to Christians. God gives you something. A lot of times you have to fight to claim what is already yours. You know what I'm saying? So A lot of people, they don't fight to claim what is theirs because they accept the fact that I am under a curse. So they are fighting a curse that's not there. Instead of just saying, I'm not under a curse, and then let's say, what is going on here? A Christian is not under an ancestral curse. Somebody please give me an amen.
Amen.
It's a word of God. However, I need to emphasize this again. Christians can have problems. And there are three reasons I'm aware of that Christians have problems. Number one is ignorance. They don't know the truth, so they perish because of lack of knowledge. That's number one. Sometimes you find out that, like talk about this prosperity thing, there are Christians who want to live holy, so they believe that poverty is synonymous with holiness. Meanwhile, it's not true. So in their quest to live holy, they're always in lack. Even though they could get up, pray, do something, and God will bless them, bam, like that. But they won't. Because if you are rich now, you will go to hell. That's part of ignorance. They don't know the things that God has promised. That's part of ignorance. So the solution to that is what? Knowledge. You pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God gives you understanding. That's it. The second reason why Christians have problems is because their faith is tried. So sometimes they are just going through the trial of their faith. In which case, it's a season. For example, you say you don't want to steal anymore. One day, one of my friends, he said a man in the church came and saw him. He said, listen to this. He said, this man alone was responsible for half of the income of the church. That if the church spends 10,000 naira, that man gave 5. If they spent 1 million, that man gave 500,000. He said, but something in him kept on feeling uncomfortable, that something is wrong. So one day he called the man, he said, please, sir, with all due respect, I am uncomfortable about this. There's something about your source of money that my spirit does not agree with. A pastor did that too. Hey, how I wish we had more pastors like that these days. He didn't see this man steal. He didn't see the man do anything wrong. He said, just anytime he thinks of that man, he's unsettled. So he called the man and said, please. He said, because of the man's giving to the church, he was confident to make plans. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That you know that end of the month, this amount of pepper go rest. So he had planned on how to use the money. That they now had a regular, you know, nothing erratic anymore. You knew that guy's contribution was a minimum that would come. He said, yet, as per rest, he did not have. So one day after church, he called the man, let us see. Please, I don't know what is going on. But my spirit is troubled anytime I think about you. What is the issue? Talk to me. The man said, sir, God bless you.